Welcome to Story Break, a Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood professionals write an entire film week by week, page by page, one scene at a time. My name is Freddie Wong, and I'm having a good time. That's my co-host over there, chuckling it up at my expense. Why don't you introduce yourselves, boys?
This is the story of a Will who tried to write a whole script and it was chill. Well, he wrote it down with two fun bros named Matt and Freddie, and he said, that's Matt.
Hi, I'm Matt.
Matt, what cool 90s rock song are you going to use?
Man, you know I can't do anything musical.
Can you name any name?
Matt. Ooh, doo, bop, bop,
nope,
ooh,
nope, 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 nope. Give me another one. Give me one that's not.
Give me one that's not in the other
reference in another podcast.
Oh my god, a single song.
Any 90s song.
Any 90s
can
song.
Can you think of a song, or will you be wrong when you write the song and go bingity bong?
Just to clarify, the Monkees aren't from the 90s,
no,
right?
The Monkees are not from the 90s.
Okay, well then that's about the newest music I listen to. That's it.
Fun fact about the
actually, all the music I know is hip hop, but I don't think I'm allowed to do hip hop on the air.
That is, it's an official crime of the U.S. government. We will be arrested by the podcast police if Matt does hip hop. That song, that this is the story of a girl. I always think about it because I was like a little moody teenager when that song came out. I remember my sister would listen to it all the time. I'd be like, "Ugh, Marcy, like, why are you listening to this song? It sucks." She's like, "It reminds me of this anime I like so much called Inuyasha." So for some reason, that song is forever associated with Inuyasha and my sister's AOL screen name, Kagome 13.
Wow.
I'm just outing a whole bunch of fucking embarrassing stuff about my sister right now.
We're going to have her on so that she can dig
Marcy
up the
has
tea.
Been wanting to come on the podcast for a while. We should definitely have
you realize what's going to happen is we're going to be like, all right, so this is Will Break, where we just get only embarrassing Will facts until Will breaks on Mike.
Guys, I have a 90s song I know and like.
Okay.
It's a bittersweet symphony. That's my jam. That's all.
That's all.
Yeah.
Do it up like it's about Story Break.
Cause it's a bittersweet writing.
You know, Story Break is the same number of syllables as symphony.
No.
It's a bittersweet story.
Too easy.
All right. Anyway, this was good.
What's going on?
This is a good bit. Let's do our podcast.
We got a film that we're working on right now. It's a little ditty we call Heaven Heist. 1, 2, 3, 4. Story about a crew of criminals robbing the Celestial Bank of Heaven.
This is the story of a crew.
Is this the most efficient way to write a script? Heavens no. Is this the best way to write a script? Probably not.
Absolutely.
Is it the most way to write a script? You bet your sweet ass it is.
Let's go. Time clock starts now, baby.
Whoa, all fast. Right.
Yeah. So this scene, we've been gabbing behind the scenes a little bit about what the next beat here is. And so basically, to recap where we are, Jin has purloined the badge of his Buddhist monk brother who also works in a hospital.
He's a good guy, man. Why you gotta laugh at this charitable guy?
So, all right. By the way, we did get a comment from someone that I was like, I have to bring this up. Someone was like, so really, his name is Freddy, and I gotta listen to this voice for the rest of the
I'll change the voice.
No.
That's your voice now.
That's your voice. You're stuck with it. You made your horrible bed. You lie in it. So he's got the badge. His goal ultimately is to do this heist, right? Yeah. He's like, I'm going to go steal money from heaven. I'm going to figure out how to make it work. Jin is a be the change you want to see in the world type person. So our kind of thought was this next scene would look something like this. Jin goes and dragoons Whiskey into this crazy plan. Because Whiskey, by the way, I had a thought that maybe because I was like, is it a little too weird that like the brother works at this hospital and the Whiskey is like a medical student? Mm-hmm. Could you do that Whiskey wants to become a vet?
Like a veterinarian.
Like, so it's like adjacent. I always think it's funny in mobster movies, like when John Wick has to go to the vet and the vet, or like they do that in Better Call Saul. Like it's the vet is the guy who stitches you up. That's like a good job for a mob doctor to have, right?
If we ever make an animal like a Homeward Bound heist movie and the dog gets like hurt, they go to a human doctor to get stitched up. We can't go to these vets. They're all under control of Big Paw.
The Mayo Clinic. This doctor's putting out a stub like in the back. I was like, all right, get him in quick.
It'd also be you reveal that it's like not even just a vet, like he's an exotic animal specialist, which we had to go to because they don't even like there's like dogs and cats and like the big animals that you're specialist for, like horses.
Yeah.
And then exotic is just like everything else was just mostly rodents. So it's like also like he only knows like guinea pigs, like rats, like about as far away from humans as possible, and like tiny animals.
My friend's dad growing up did root canals, and he was the on-call root canal. Well, so his teeth are not that different across species, I guess. He was the on-call root canal doc. Dentist, not, I shouldn't say doctor, right? There's a whole beef there. He was the on-call root canal dentist for the Woodland Park Zoo back in Seattle. So he would just occasionally be like, yeah, I worked on an alligator today. And he's like, whoa, cool, Ed.
Pulled alligator teeth?
Yeah, they would anesthetize them and do some work on the dents.
Did he keep the teeth?
Well, what's crazy is he would be like, the whole time he'd be doing it, he'd be like, you're not flossing.
Did the alligator put the teeth underneath his pillow?
Yes, the alligator. Is there an alligator tooth fairy?
No.
Is this thing on? Are we still doing a podcast? All right. Yes. So, yeah. So basically he kidnaps Whiskey. He's going to take Whiskey to this hospital and sneak him in to try to find the room where they can find the equipment and stuff they need to revive Jin.
Yes.
Right. Because he wants to come back from this, obviously. And then our kind of thought for a twist would be we have the tension of him sneaking around. And then we also get Whiskey maybe discreetly, like we see him trying to slip for a cell phone in his back pocket. And we don't know what's going on. But we were thinking that maybe the twist of the scene would be that Jin is strapped in, ready to get put under. And then right as Whiskey's about to do it, the door flies open and it's the rest of the crew.
Yeah.
And you find out that Whiskey called... discreetly sent an emergency message to Tequila and was like, Jin's kidnapped me, like I need help, like and then so basically
find my friends me please.
So we want to avoid the shoe leather of like, if he does this once, is he gonna go and convince everybody else again, like get them here, but like also they wouldn't believe it. So it felt like Whiskey being in trouble and calling for help from everybody, you can buy that Tequila showed up and, you know, cognac and brandy,
and then it gets you exactly where we need to be, which is Jin like can press a button and die, and everyone is watching him, so he can come back and do something that convinces them all that this is like fucking real deal.
Which we'll figure that out probably next scene.
Yes.
Okay, so let's get into it.
Yeah. All right.
I feel like the most fun thing to do would be to cut to Whiskey.
Yes, I want to see a little bit of Whiskey.
Like, what is Whiskey's life that then Jin... Because also, even to the point where I feel like when he gets kidnapped, we don't quite know it's Jin at first. Like, it's a mysterious figure, like, grabs Whiskey, and Whiskey's like, oh, no! And then he opens the door, and, like, Jin pulls off the mask or whatever. He's like, you come with me, Whiskey. And you're like, oh, shit, he's taking Whiskey.
Yeah. Okay, so interior Whiskey's apartment.
Swank apartment.
Well, what is his apartment? And you were saying he was maybe a vet instead of a doctor.
It's just him having posters of cool animals and stuff.
It's just Whiskey, just like the fireplace. Like it's like the scene in The Big Lebowski with the where like the fireplace and the opera. And he's drinking like a scotch and reading zoo books.
Does he have pet? Because I was saying that maybe it'd be fun if he was an exotic.
Oh, he's got birds.
If he was an exotic veterinarian.
He's got loud birds.
I was going to say like a rat, like he's like, or I guess it could be birds, like he's letting, because like he can't take his animal with him.
Whiskey is just, it's the opening shot of Les Samurai where Alain Delon is just lying down on the bed and smoking a cigarette with the bird in the corner, except it's Whiskey doing that and he's just beating off.
No. He's getting one wank back out before he goes.
He's like one more.
Does he have roommates? Does he have his own place?
Oh, that's a good question. Rent's got to be pretty pricey in Hong Kong, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, especially if he's like, his robbery didn't go well.
Yes.
He's training to be a vet, so he's not really a vet
yet. In student housing, maybe?
Oh.
Is he in the dorms? Are there dorms? I'm like, dude, I'm sure they must have dorms.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Because he could have a roommate that, like, I like this roommate, has no relationship to him whatsoever. He's like, well, bro, it's been good. You're probably wondering why I'm, you know, leaving school early.
No.
He's like,
oh,
no.
Nah.
He's playing video games on Fortnite.
I like just that you revealed that. I don't know why I keep going to these crazy places. You revealed, like, Whiskey starts getting dragged down the hallway, and then you reveal every other person has always been brutally murdered. No witnesses.
Sorry.
Like, Jin, you're definitely going to hell now.
Jin definitely killed a lot of people.
Okay. So, yeah. So, whatever he's doing, he's on the run, right? Like, he's got his bags packed.
Yes.
So, yes. Like, getting a little taste of home for Whiskey.
Oh, he should be giving his roommate his pet to take care of.
And the roommate's like, I don't want this loud bird.
I feel like it's definitely guinea pigs. He has a guinea pig.
Matt, you own guinea pigs.
We own guinea pigs.
Well, how does that work?
What do you mean? They're great. They're like hamsters that you can actually pet because hamsters are too small and bitey. And guinea pigs are really sweet. And they actually like, you know, they're not super smart, but they kind of know you. So like, you know, when you come home, they actually squeal with excitement and whatnot. And they live longer than hamsters. They live for like 5 to 7 years.
Every time I think of Freddie owning a pet, I think that scene in Equilibrium where like the first time he holds a dog and he's just staring at it and doesn't know what to do with it. And Taye Diggs is like, what do they do with it? Do they eat them?
Sorry, who am I in that equation?
You're just the guy who's...
Am I Taye Diggs?
No, you're Christian Bale who's just like, I don't know what to do with this animal. All right, so something to do with a pet, right? Like, it's very endearing. It feels very whiskey.
And you let him know that he's a vet, and then, yes, and then you also get that he's giving up something in order to flee the country.
Yes.
Yeah, and I like the idea that whatever the pet is, I mean, like, here's the thing that you get with a bird or, like, a parrot, Matt, that you don't get with guinea pigs. Guinea pigs are, like, small, squealy, and happy. The parrot can be like, you suck. Like, the
parrot can be like, suck my ass, whiskey, frog.
I feel so bad for the roommate. That's what it should. Okay, fine. If you do a bird, it's got to be clearly this roommate. He's like, fuck this. Like, can you imagine coming to college and somebody's got a fucking parrot? It should be as tequila tackles him or whatever. I mean, as gin tackles him outside, like, you can literally see the dorm window open behind them and the roommate had just let the bird out. Like, if I was that roommate and somebody gave me a fucking bird, are you kidding me?
I do like the shot.
I'm not keeping this bird.
I do like the shot of like low, imagine this, like low angle Dutch up on the building and you see like, you know, whiskey getting dragged out under a hood and then above like 40 stories up, like a window flies up and that bird just flies away as well.
I forgot that Freddie hates all animals and Matt hates birds because this is deeply true. As someone who grew up with birds, it's deeply traumatizing. We had cockatiels growing
up. But what if you let it out in the wild?
It would fucking die because it doesn't know how to eat. What would happen if you let Play-Doh just run around? Fucking Play-Doh would be toast.
Play-Doh can't fly.
Play-Doh's a king.
Yeah, yes. No, a bird that's been raised in a cage its whole life. I mean, look, I agree that it's very funny, but then I would want the parrot to come back in Whiskey's hour of need and like in a...
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Sure, the bird can come back.
All right.
It should be a squawky. Sad. It is all set. It's a squawky.
Hey, you know, if I know you, Whiskey's a fucking criminal. Fuck Whiskey.
And he's not the one that does. It's this shitty roommate. Look, if this is a loud squawking bird that this roommate clearly is like, he's doing homework, and every time this bird screeches, he's like, why does this roommate have a fucking bird in our dorm room?
Oh, whoa.
And then he's like, hey, I'm leaving, by the way. Can you keep care of my bird?
Small story, but the yellow crested cockatoos, there's like, it's endangered. There's 2,000 in the world. 10% of them are in Hong Kong. Just like in the parks. Like, it got brought there as an invasive species and they're just like all over the parks.
Does he have a macaw?
A macaw, like just a big mean ass bird that can bite your finger off.
Yes, a huge ass. Can you imagine?
This, by the way, is my favorite gag in Futurama, is that the pest in the future is owls. There's just owls everywhere.
It's,
and
they so have good.
DEFCON owl traps. Like, it's like a whole thing. Anyway.
Okay, right. So to kind of come back to kind of, you know, rip off our greatest hits, I feel like he's saying goodbye to the bird a la Brian D. saying goodbye to his cat. Yeah. And you can get a little bit that, like, he has this bird because it was a bird he, like, learned on. You know, it's like a bird was injured and he, like, he helped it or whatever. And
it's a yellow, like, it's a yellow crested cockatoo. That,
no, it should be a big macaw. It should be a huge ass, loud ass. How dare you ask your roommate to take care of this beast of an animal?
I love that he explicitly, it should be that he is like, he has eardrop medicine for it that the roommate needs to give him like every 5 hours.
Yes. Yeah, that's great, because I was just trying to think of, like, we talked about this, I forget when it might have been on Dungeon Daddies, but the idea of, like, having to feed my cat a pill is just, like, you're going to get scratched and bit. Like, the only way to do it, even you go to the vet, and the way they do it is they just grab the cat's neck and just, like, pry open his mouth and put your fingers in there and then, like, shoot the pill down his throat as it's trying to bite you. So, like,
looking at that, because I was just checking to make sure that what you're describing was correct while I was editing that.
Yeah.
There are so many YouTube videos on how to do it, and there are such a nightmare in the comments of people like screaming back and forth about proper technique on this. Uh-huh. It's amazing. And then easily the best part is how many people are like, this video shows a calm cat. My cat is not calm, and this video is useless to me.
Yeah. I remember when the vet told me how to do it, and I tried it the first time with Play-Doh. I'm like, this is insane. Play-Doh, you're just going to die because I can't. Like, it feels like I'm torturing you and you're trying to bite me. This is horrible.
Okay. All right. So he says goodbye to the roommate. He tells the roommate to give him the pills. Roommate's like, yeah, got it. And like, the roommate's like, while playing video games.
That's like such a roommate move, right? Like, I see that in every movie. It's like, cut to the couch where the roommate's knee deep in a Call of Duty frag fest. Roommate's fucking five deep for his kill streak reward.
What is the roommate doing?
What's the roommate saying, you doing, smart guy?
I'm just saying that, like, you know, it's like roommate's fucking Master Chief teabagging his foes and
screaming.
I'm
getting so much like crackly spittle noise in my headphones from you doing that.
Yeah, I know. It's a little thing called affect.
So Macaws can't.
Just something else. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Just something else.
Is he like, he's like an angry painter? Like, you know, he's like painting with like, you know, naked with his dick, like listening to crazy music. And he's like
a painting.
Roommate's like making beats. He's making cool hip hop beats.
The roommate making beats is fun.
Okay. So the terminology here, Will, is duping on his sampler, making his beats
wiki,
with a Z.
On his wikis. What if his beat is like, I hate your parrot.
Oh, I was gonna say,
hate your parrot.
I was going to say, you hear it through the headphones, you hear like, boop, 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 ba-ka, ba-ka. He's clearly recorded the bird. He's putting the
then
bird
he
in
wouldn't
the beats.
Throw the bird out.
But he's just, he's just messing with it. But yes, it should be he clearly hates the bird.
Okay, roommate making beats.
The way you do that is also like the bird is like chewing on his cables. It's like, can you not? This is like the third headphone. And it's like, I mean, macaws are very dangerous.
The macaw would be in a cage, to be fair. Like, yeah, he's saying goodbye to it. So it's not chewing.
Well, no, he's taking it out because he's trying to show his roommate how to give it eardrops. We're saying that maybe he's giving the bird.
No, I think you can just say that he says, like, hey, you're going to give him his eardrops every five hours, right? He's like, uh-huh, yeah, okay, goodbye. And then he leaves. Yeah, like, I don't think we need a whole beat of him showing him how to do
it. Yeah. I just think you want to make it clear that what he's done to his roommate is horrible. I feel like maybe you could do the classic macaw bites his finger.
I see what you want. You want to really understand the burden that this thing is, right?
Yes. That is like, he's a bad person for suggesting that this fucking beat ripping cool dude is going to take care of this 2 foot tall creature. It should be just the macaw. I'm looking at pictures, just like the macaw is like on the cage, just screaming.
it's already bending the bars of the cage,
like,
with its
this
mouth.
This is clearly an angry, loud bird.
Just a flurry of feathers and squawking.
Okay, so, all right, here's what I would do. Okay, in that case, I don't think it should be someone doing beats. I think it should be someone trying to study or something like that, and they have cotton balls jammed in their ears because of this fucking loud-ass bird. And, you know, Whiskey comes out, and it's like, okay, hey, I'm going away for a little bit. I need you to take care of the bird, okay? Wait, what? And he's like, I'm leaving the eardrops right here. Just make sure you give them every 5 hours. Wait, how long are you going to be gone? And then he's like, goodbye, and he closes the door, right?
He probably gives him, like, this is going to be my rent for the next... forever.
It's two drops every 4 hours for the next 2 months. 2 months? How long are you going to be gone?
And then what you could do, well, I like him leaving because then you do this beat of like, he locks the door, and right as he locks the door, like, Jin grabs him and like pulls him into the bush. We see the roommate come out for a second and then Whiskey's just gone. And then you can do the, like, as he's walking away, you just see the bird fly out the window.
Yeah, it's the window, but
okay, let's write it down. Okay, so Whiskey tearfully bids goodbye to Widget. His super loud, super mean ass macaw squawking.
Subtle production design. You just see like the curtain, everything near the cage has been completely shredded. Like the curtain that's just shredded is like, clearly this thing just bites everything near it.
I'm sorry. I like that this is a studio apartment with two people in it.
Yeah.
And then you would do that. This cage takes up a huge footprint in the apartment.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so Whiskey is like, goodbye, Widget.
Alternate name, Bambi.
Bambi? Bambi's perfect.
Bambi's pretty good.
He holds out his finger, like, to touch it, and
it just bites. It's just bleeding profusely for the rest of the scene.
Ah, shit. He's actually being mad. It's like, fuck. It's okay, buddy. I know you're upset.
I'm mad, too.
Daddy's gotta go away for a while, Bambi. Crap! Bambi's my favorite character in the script. Whiskey wipes away a tear and
looking at videos of just macaws just like staring at the camera, like chewing. They're fucking terrifying. Like, if I was that roommate,
it's a dinosaur.
Yeah, and I just stared at this macaw staring at me. I'm like, I'm not giving you medicine. Also, if he gets rowdy, showers calm him down.
Is that a thing?
And look at this one bird. Like, so this one bird perches on the shower, like the curtain, mm-hmm. when his owner showers, just sits there squawking down at him. Never mind. Now I just want to keep cutting back to the roommate. If the bird identified, you should keep cutting back to the roommate, like taking a shower, and just like the bird's up there, just staring down at it. It's like, you won't come in here, right? You don't like the water. Stay away from me. How did he? And he just looks at him. How did you get out of your cage?
he stares up at him, like just like lathering himself, and then the bird's wings just get wider and wider. Like,
the bird very explicitly thinks his penis is a worm. And he's trying to bite it off.
He just recreates Psycho about this bird.
The bird's wings slowly expanded.
Man, so terrifying. This poor roommate.
We're just going to do the movie just turns into a fucking Homeward Bound with Bambi trying to hunt down Whiskey and kill him.
Oh, man. Dude, Macau's bite is 500 to 700 pounds per square inch. It's as much as like a large dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like a fucking big ass dog is what like the Macau's beak does. Anyways.
A macaw.
Macaw. Why do I keep saying Macau?
The macaw goes to Macau and becomes a high rolling gambler. Oh, Mr. Bambi, your table is waiting. A stressed out student trying to study in the corner with cotton balls shoved in his ears.
I just want the whole thing to be with this macaw and his roommate. I'm watching a video of a macaw just fucking tearing apart a cage, slowly like bending it and like getting his head out. Like, could you imagine the roommate turns the macaw, the macaw just starts breaking the cage apart? He's just trying to get out.
The move is
looking at
The move is this. He leaves and goes to the roommate. The roommate's sitting there and he looks, and it's just the scene from Terminator 2 where the macaw just steps through the bars perfectly. He's like,
you're all like, oh, it's funnier if the macaw goes flying out the window, but what if the roommate goes flying out the window? Okay.
Holy shit.
Okay, Matt, we need to write a script.
Sorry.
You get one. All right, what is it? You get one more macaw fact.
No, it's just, I'm just looking at, like, look how much it's already torn it apart. It's torn apart this cage. And it's just, can you imagine the roommate turns and this macaw is just like the moment Whiskey leaves, the macaw's like, all right. Starts tearing apart the cage. Anyways.
The roommate goes to grab the little spritzer bottle, but it's out of water. Okay.
Okay. Last thing is it the macaw?
Oh my God.
Is it the macaw fly? Well, no, this is the next moment of the scene. Oh, the macaw flies out the window, or do you do the roommate slams up against the window screaming and then a spray of blood?
Too wacky. It's too wacky. Okay. All right. For this wacky movie. All right. What does Whiskey say to the roommate?
Hey, next month's rent is in the envelope. Bye. I have to go. I gotta go. Family emergency.
Hey, good luck on the test tomorrow. As we said, here are his eardrops twice every 4 hours for the next 2 months. Wait, 2 months? How long? Anyways, I gotta go. Good luck, buddy.
Okay, that's right. Off. Yes. Hey.
A thought. If you did that, the bird doesn't fly out the window, and you do just keep doing these cutbacks to this macaw, you could do that at one point when they're in heaven. All of a sudden, his roommate's in heaven. It's like, what are you doing here? He's like, what do you think I'm doing here? You left me with that devil bird. I was just in the shower. Anyways, never mind.
Good luck with the... What is the roommate studying? Like, good luck with the bar? Good luck with finals.
Yeah, good luck with finals.
Hey, so I left next month's rent on the fridge. Good luck with finals. Here's Bambi's eardrops. He needs 2 a month. Yeah.
We take our job very seriously here, so I'm researching eardrops with macaws to see if they have them. And the answer is I cannot tell. Oh, it looks like it might be better to do, I mean, eardrops is fine. It's also nose drops, like in the beak.
Nose drops is way
nose
better.
Drops?
Well, it's like the beak has those two holes in them, and I'm looking at healing bacterial infections, and there's things of them squirting. So like you have to get right to that beak.
Rushes out the door and shuts it behind him. Do we want to do a punch? No, I think we can. Do you want to do a punchline with the roommate and the bird here?
Yeah, he looks fearfully at the bird. The bird does the thing from Alien where another bird comes out of its mouth.
All right, exterior Whiskey apartment night. Whiskey shuts the door and gives a melancholy sigh. And then it's just a quick wham, right?
Yeah,
it's
like put over his head. He gets
a bag over his head. Yeah, that's kind of fun. Yeah. That's good. Why is he put a bag over his head?
He's walking and then he looks behind him and there's one of those campus police on a little Segway, like rolling after him. He's like, huh? He turns the corner and the Segway keeps following him. He's like, ah. And then you think it's Jin, but then Jin just
He's like, I feel like, hey, let's make this quick.
Hey, Whiskey, hop in here.
I think Whiskey, you could just do, he just jams a gun in his back, right? Like, that's the classic, like, he, Whiskey throws a hand over his mouth, jams a gun in his back, and says, shut up and move, right?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Gives a melancholy sigh. Wham! It's Jin lurking over his shoulder. Jin whispers in Whiskey's ear as his eyes bulge in terror. Shut up and keep moving. So shut up and move, right?
Yeah, shut up and move. Jin, what the hell are you doing?
Just Jin whimpering. Oh, no, no, it's now he's whimpering as Jin guides him towards the car, and then he sees the window open and his bird fly out and goes, he's like,
Oh, yeah, should he know that his bird's gone?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Behind him, the window of Whiskey's apartment squeaks open. His roommate shoes Bambi out into the night sky. Whiskey gives a muffled little sob.
Okay.
So what's next?
So now they're
in the cab? Do we just cut to the...
Yeah, there's probably not nothing. There's probably nothing really to do in the car.
Yeah, you show up where the spot.
Like, what the hell are you doing? Because
you have everything you need. You know what he has, and you just have him continue the conversation at the end there.
When essentially the next fun moment is Jin being like, "I need you to kill me."
Yeah.
So like, is that in the car? And when is he?
Oh, it's at the place. It's got to be at the.
Oh, well, I can. Here's what I could see. I could see Whiskey being like, "Listen, man, I don't know what you want. You can take my cut of the money. You can take my passport. Like, you know, whatever you need, dude. Just, you know, let me go and don't kill me." And as he's doing that, you see him fumble with his phone.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really see what happens as a result of it.
Yeah.
But
you
see him starting to do. He's like, "Relax, man. I'm not going to kill you.
Yeah.
I need you to kill me."
Yeah.
And then you see that he says that right as they pull up to, you know, Buddha Corp Hospital.
Yes.
Whatever.
I like that.
Okay,
I think that's don't worry, man. I'm not going to kill you. I need you to kill me. And then, yes, you cut inside and they're like, you know.
And then it would be Whiskey trying to talk him out of it.
Yes,
like, dude, this is super dangerous, you know, like.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that movie Flatliners?
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's where I got the idea from.
Yeah, that movie fucking rocks.
The movie was great and the remake was good.
Hot take. That was a good remake. All right, interior, Jin's cab, night. We got a script coming up around the corner, and is Whiskey tied up in the back, or is Whiskey driving and Jin's in the back? That's always a fun move.
Oh, yeah, you could do that. Yeah, because it's his, I mean, I guess Jin drove here.
I know, but like, so I mean, you do the thing
for the guys in the back with the gun, and he's like, "You drive."
Yeah, and then he's texting with his left hand or whatever.
Yeah, because I just watched the classic movie Safe House featuring Ryan Reynolds and Denzel Washington.
Okay,
and they do this move in that one where he's like this master criminal rogue dude. It turns out to be a good guy, but spoilers. And he makes like Ryan Reynolds drive him around.
Okay, yeah.
So you can do that.
Gun to the back of his head.
Yeah, so he's sitting right behind him. Okay.
Yeah.
Whiskey drives the cab as Jin sits in the back. Yeah, it's like Collateral.
Yeah, exactly.
Whiskey says, just like Collateral. Love that movie. Whiskey. The old talk while you move for the phone beat. Listen, Jin.
You can have the cut of my money.
Listen, Jin.
Do you want to like trade locations? Where are you going? Where was Whiskey going?
Whiskey was getting out.
I can't remember. Did we say where?
Oh, man. Did you hear? I got the Bahamas. You can take the Bahamas if you want. We can change. Where are you going? Oh, I hope it's not Siberia.
That's fine. I kind of like that.
I hope it's not Siberia. That's what I heard. That's what Cognac got.
I didn't pack for cold weather.
Listen, Jin.
I guess I could buy something at the airport.
I already spent like $2,000. My bird needed nose drops. They're pretty expensive. No.
This reminds you of that fucking the incredible gag in Frasier where Niles like has been subletting his apartment during his divorce and he doesn't want his neighbors to find out that he was living in like a shitty apartment. And so he told them he was all vacationing in Africa.
Yes.
And then but he has his cockatoo baby who comes back with him. And they're like, "Surely you didn't bring your cockatoo with you on safari to Africa." And he goes, "Well, she has family down there." All right. Listen, Jin, you can take whatever you want. You want to switch identities? You want to switch tickets? I mean, I'm just a claims adjuster from Norway now.
You got it. I'm a female body inspector in Brazil.
Ha, 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 ha,
You can take it. I thought I hit the jackpot with that one.
I can't believe that's a real job.
He was clearly going to get stopped at the airport and go straight to prison.
All right. What do you want, dude? You want my money? It's yours. You want my new identity? You got it. Just don't kill me, man. Yeah, we can. That's second draft punch. Okay. All right. Actually, no, we should do it before. When do you do that beat of him fumbling with the phone? Do you do it before he starts? Right? Because you kind of want to know, like, oh, he's doing this to keep him talking, right?
Do it right now. I didn't want to be from Norway anyway, man. He pulls out his phone.
Okay.
And we see.
Well, no, but don't you want it, like, kind of before he starts doing this whole spiel so that we know the spiel is to distract him and you have that kind of question of, is it going to work?
You could be like, what do you want, Jin? Just keep driving.
Come on, man.
Let's
talk about this. Yeah. What do you want, Jin? He says off the wheel. He keeps moving through his contacts all while talking to Jin to keep him distracted.
Do we see who he's texting?
No, I think you just see him going for it, right? And you're like, ooh, he's up to something.
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't kill me.
I'm not going to kill you. You're going to kill. And then he comes from the top of the ceiling like Batman, me. Like, ah!
That's my favorite thing Batman does.
Yep. Swear to me. That's the best part of that movie.
The best one of those is in the scene where the Joker is like scaring his girlfriend or whatever, when he's scaring Maggie Gyllenhaal, and he's like, oh, fighting you. I like that. And he's like, then you're gonna love me. And like he just comes out, you're like, where the fuck did Batman come from in this? You're like, Bruce Wayne was right there. Like he got halfway through the room without him noticing. It's great. It's like usually it's like the shadowy and like he comes from like a hiding spot. He literally just like apparates in front of the Joker.
Like everybody else at the party was like, oh hey, it's Batman. Like, walking through.
Everyone's like,
shh, I'm gonna scare the Joker. Just be calm. Be cool. It's gonna be really cool watching me. I'm gonna say a cool line right when I jump.
Then you're gonna love me. Anyway, Batman shows up. Okay, good. But I'm not gonna kill you.
Should be a different version of the Dark Knight where it's like before he even finishes, like he's like, here's a test. There's one boat full of innocent children and people, and another boat with and he just boat blows up. Batman just blows it up. It's like cool. All right, what's next? It's a fun game. She was like, the end. Oh, that was kind of like my whole thing.
I was trying to make a point.
Yeah, that's kind of like the whole, I don't have any more pranks or anything. That was it. Oh, well, you're arrested now. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, fair enough.
Fair enough.
I'm not going to kill you. You're going to kill me.
All right.
Kill me. You know, I spent so long hating on Christian Bale Batman voice, but I really love it.
I always liked it.
It's iconic.
It does.
Where are the other drugs going? All right.
So that would be like, so that's what it feels like.
I mean, it's like you get it. Nobody would think he's Bruce Wayne. Like, it's like Bruce Wayne.
No one would think Bruce Wayne would be dumb enough to do that voice. Stupid voice like that. All right. Okay.
That's what happens when he only has Alfred, who's a yes man. You know, it's just like, yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great, sir.
Yeah, it's very good, sir.
Actually, I didn't think Alfred ever heard his voice because he doesn't really see him. Like, does he talk with a Batman voice when he's just with Alfred?
No.
Oh, that's a good point.
So Alfred's never heard his Batman voice. They should have definitely done a thing where, like, in a security camera, he hears the voice. Alfred's like, sir, is that your...
Sir, is that your voice?
Is that the voice you do, sir? Is that the voice you do when you're the Batman?
What's wrong with
that? Master Wayne, I have been your friend and confidant for nigh on 40 years. I've never heard you do such a stupid voice before.
Well, what do you mean stupid? It strikes terror into the heart.
You sound like a fucking idiot.
No, but it's
cool. I had Michael Caine for like half a second, and then I lost it. All right, we gotta finish. Oh my god, we have to get through this. Okay, I'm not gonna kill you. I just laugh every time. You're gonna kill me. All right, I'm not gonna kill you. The headlights,
master.
Shut up. Of the taxi,
and they probably just do like quick cuts of like.
Oh, it'd be shut up and pull in here, and then the lights illuminate the sign. Yeah. The lights of the taxi illuminate. A sign outside of a large building. What is the name of the hospital? What was the one you found?
Big Boys Ouchie Center.
The Buddhist Hospital.
Hong Kong Buddhist Hospital?
Yeah, Hong Kong right. Buddhist Hospital.
We will say it's the Hong Kong Buddhist Hospital for now. This feels like you're doing this at like Cedar Sinai or something. Anyway, large building, Hong.
You can do the Queen Elizabeth Hospital.
It's gonna be like a smaller hospital, almost like an urgent care sort of size.
Oh, let's see. Maybe a medical center.
Yeah. Again, this is like for like low income, like, you know, helping out the homeless and various people.
We'll say just Hong Kong Buddhist Medical Center.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Medical Center is good.
HKBMC.
This is I'm just imagining a parallel universe where two screenwriters from Hong Kong and their white friend are writing a script, and it's like, and it's the America Town Jesus Hospital.
Like a lot of hospitals. It's probably I know. Like American Hospital.
The American Jesus Hospital. Maybe instead of Hong Kong, we can do like a neighborhood in Hong Kong.
The lowest.
Sham Shu Pu.
Wow.
Sham Shui Po.
Sham Shui Po.
Nope.
How do you pronounce it?
Sam Shui Po. Something like that.
All right.
Okay. There you go. Looks like it's the poorest district in Hong Kong. It is because it's north west of Kowloon.
Okay. The Sam Shui Po. Is that close?
Nope.
All right. Well, we're just going to say, all right, we will say the
SSP. No, we'll write it, and then because the people who will act.
Buddhist Charity Medical Center. So we bust open a back door, right? Like, and we're okay. So what's this next beat?
I think you just do really quick, just to show that he breaks in. I would just do that.
Well, he's used the badge.
Quick cut of badge swiping, like them sneaking down the corridor and then opening a door, and then your next scene is essentially him pushing him through into the whatever surgery table room or whatever it is.
Okay, yeah, so I think you see a swipe, and then he shoves him in the door, right?
Yeah.
And then you can just cut to they're in
a room,
like a hospital room, basically.
Yeah, he's shoving him in the room, and Jin is, and Whiskey's probably like, Jin, you're crazy, man.
Yeah, like, dude, this is such a, this is so dangerous. Yeah. I'm not even a doctor. I'm a doctor student. I'm a vet student. I don't know anything about bringing people back to life.
I'm not even a people doctor student.
Yeah, I'm not even a people doctor student. He's like, you did it once. You can do it again. Now hurry up. It's like, man, it's not worth it.
I don't want to kill you. I can't kill you. That's why I became a robber, not a killer. I can't kill you. How do they kill him?
Huh?
How does he kill him?
How would you? I guess you'd probably stop his heart, right?
How do they kill him?
Yeah, they do some. It's like, isn't it Flatliners is some like drug cocktail that, you know, stops their heart, and then they kick him with some other cocktail to bring him back or whatever.
Let's see. In Flatliners, the way it works is he experiences an erotic afterlife sequence. That's different. That's not what I knew. That's not what I was expecting.
The seven people you bone in heaven.
Yeah, I guess it'd be some sort of poison, right? Some sort of like neurotoxin.
Okay. No, it wouldn't be a neurotoxin because
it's pretty bad.
You would like something that would stop your heart and then adrenaline to get it going again.
I mean, whatever it is going to have to be bad because it's going to kill you.
I know, but you don't want it to like rot away your brain.
Yeah.
They don't say how they do it in Flatliners.
I was trying to
stop the heart and then they start it again. It's like an engine. We don't have to be fucking house MD with this.
No, I know, but I want the.
Just how do they do it?
They inject them.
Okay, I'll inject you with this bad medicine and then get you with the good medicine.
Yeah.
Using a defibrillator to stop her heart for 60 seconds while recording her brain and then reviving her. So
in the
new movie, they just use a defibrillator.
They can fib him.
Fib me, he says.
Fib me.
Fib me hard. That's how they did it in Flatliners, and they probably researched it for that movie. Jin says, putting the fibber on his ribs. No, anything but that. Jin grimaces and punches the button, fibbing himself.
He's like, all right, Whiskey, you're gonna kill me. He's like, okay, how am I gonna do that? He's like, here, shoot me in the head. He's like, I don't think that's I
then
can't
bring me back with that electricity. Jin, do you know how the human body works at all? All right.
Turns out most of science still doesn't.
All right. I will type up this next little bit. You guys figure out how we're going to stop Jin's heart.
Oh, I mean, the defibrillator.
Hey, you slam him with electricity and that'll fuck your heart up so bad that it'll stop. And then
they have a sequence that's kind of like when people ask how you help the hiccups.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, try holding your breath really long, Jin. And then Jin holds his breath. And he's like, and he's like, no, that didn't work. He's like, okay, how about
close your eyes really hard and
how about I just punch you really hard?
No.
Like, okay, and then he keeps punching. He's like, dude, you need to work out dude. You don't punch hard at all. He's like, what? He's like, here, let me show you. And then he punches Whiskey, and then cuts to like Whiskey knocked out. He's like, I did it. I went to heaven. What else? What's another way you could die? He's like, let's try
hyperventilate, and then I'll put my thumbs on your aorta.
I guess he could just choke him.
No, he hits him with the pat. He goes around. He's like, all right, I need to die for like 15 minutes. How long was I out for? It's like 15 minutes. I need to die for 15 minutes again. Oh, that's not really good for you. And then what he does is he's like, what about this? What does this thing do? It's like, that's a defibrillator. It's like, wait, he should pick up the defibrillator. He's like, what about this? What about this? And then Whiskey goes, oh, that's a defibrillator. Actually, you know, they get it wrong in movies all the time. Everyone uses it to like start your heart, but it actually stops your heart. And he's like, perfect. And he puts it on. He's like, you can bring me back, right? He's like, what? Wait, no. And then he hits himself with it and he's gone. And then when he comes back, he's, you know,
we're gonna have tequila and them come in.
So he has the defibrillator on his chest. Yeah, he puts the leads on, he licks his nips, sticks the sorry.
Wait. Who licks whose nips?
He does.
He licks his own nips.
Yeah.
How? You show me that.
Okay.
Freddy.
I got it. Guys, just I literally Googled chemical to stop heart. And so basically, they have to stop your heart for heart surgery.
I can do it.
So yes, it's called adenosine or verapamil. So he's got a drug that stops your heart.
Okay.
Right?
Cool. But importantly, I want to see. Freddy says he can lick his own nipple. So let's see this. This is good pod.
I hate that I'm watching this right now.
Perfect.
Everybody, just so you know, Freddy did do it. However, he did have his shirt on, so I can't confirm it was actually his nipple, but it did look like the nipular area.
Nipular area. So. And the award for best film podcast goes to.
All right, so fine.
Okay.
So you're fine. Jen licks his own nips, and then Whiskey's like, you don't need to do that. I'm going to inject you with a poison.
Okay, yeah. So, it says rarely drugs are ineffective in cardio version of delivery of an electrical shock to the heart may be necessary. So you can also do it.
Yeah, see, he licks his nips and shocks himself.
Okay.
Sometimes I wonder, am I a genius?
All right.
We'll do Jin flicks on the lights of a medical.
Yeah.
This would be an operating room, I guess, right? Yeah. Yes. Jin and steps inside, gun drawn on Whiskey.
So does he have like the, is he pointing the gun at Whiskey still being like?
Yeah, he's like, come on, let's go. So he's still got a gun on him. And Whiskey would be like, I like that we start like, this is a bad idea. And then when he cuts in, we can be like, I'm serious, man. Like the human body isn't like a freaking, you know.
Light switch, you can't just turn it on and off.
Yes.
And also I heard that if you do flick it on and off, you can burn out a light bulb. So the human body is like a light bulb.
That's good, yeah. You can just flick it on and off. And if you, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was gonna say Whiskey, shut up. Like I said, dude, I know you keep saying do a flatliner. Like, that's a thing. That's like
that's not a thing
in the movie. He's like, just do it like they do. He goes, and then just cuts to, he's on Wikipedia. He's like, all right, they use.
Like, I actually really love. I don't know. Yeah. Dude, I'm a student. I don't know how to stop a heart. We'll Google it or something. Oh, my God.
I kind of like that clearly implied that Jin has been saying like flatliners. It's like, dude, you can't just keep saying flatliners like it's a thing. That's a movie. That's not how it works. Besides, I don't even know how they stop the heart in that thing. It's like, well, just Google it. And then it's like, all right.
Cut to the Wikipedia page for flatliners.
Yeah, flatliners. Like, I guess they use, all right, what's the medicine? they use that.
It says here, Kiefer Sutherland uses.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, Michael Douglas. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely going to stop your heart.
Okay, let's give this a shot. All right, let's go. So then it's, what are we doing the flatliners thing? What are you saying?
I mean, it would just be, if you could do that as a way to cut to, then it just cuts to Jin is sitting on the table. Like ready to go, and Whiskey has flatliners open the wiki, and he has a vial of the medicine. He goes, okay.
Looks like they do about this much.
It's pulled up on Netflix. He has the wiki and the movie on Netflix. Okay, looks like they use about 20 milligrams.
Is Jin really like? Is that, that's pretty stupid for Jin?
He pulls the gun and puts it to his temple, and he goes, Google flatliners. I mean, it's pretty stupid.
It's pretty dumb.
I guess it's the thing. It's okay. Maybe we don't need the flatliners thing. You can just know what the medicine is.
It's funny. It does seem pretty dumb for Jin.
It's pretty. I mean, it's definitely getting into like spoof territory.
Yeah, I don't know if we need. It is very funny though. Ah, geez, I'm not cut out for this. I'm a student man of vet. I operate on whiskey pigs.
I operate on guinea pigs.
On whiskey pigs.
Well, right now, I'm your guinea pig and make me oink. Wait, what? Guinea pigs don't oink.
So, right, how's he going to convince Whiskey to do this, right?
Whiskey, one of us is going to die in this
room.
Or
it's like, Whiskey, one of us is
going to die in this room. And only one of us knows how to theoretically bring one of us back. So, and then just cut to him on the table.
And only one of us theoretically knows how to bring someone back. So who's it going to be?
I guess I can do some research, and then you cut to the Wikipedia for Flatliners, and he goes, okay, so I think I want to do this. I want to stab you with this, and then stab you with this.
Yeah, I think you could just cut from a look, though. So who's it going to be? Goes, and then you cut to him, like, yes, like, yeah, on Google or whatever. It should just be Google, and then, yes, as a fun joke, you'll see that Flatliners is also on. He's got, like, 20 tabs open, yeah, and, yes, one of them is Flatliners.
Pistol. One of us. It's okay that Jin threatens him here, right?
Yeah.
Like, we don't buy that Jin would.
No,
kill
Jin's not gonna kill him.
Whiskey,
but he knows that, like, Whiskey. I mean, he Whiskey's a pushover.
Yeah, exactly. He's a coward. Tequila would be like, okay,
but
shoot.
Yeah, you don't think Jin doesn't need, like, put the gun to his head or anything, right?
No. He's holding the gun.
Whiskey gives an anxious whine, and we cut to Whiskey is now in OR scrubs.
Yeah, somebody.
And he's, like, flipping through his phone.
I like that he's got there's a computer in the,
yeah,
and there's just, you just see a bunch of tabs of various Google, including Flatliners is on there.
Scrolls through a WebMD article.
Yeah.
Whiskey holds up two syringes, right? Because it'll be like, one is like a toxin or is the fucking thing. And the other is adrenaline to restart his heart. Mm-hmm. To kickstart my heart. Oh.
And then I think the fact was like, are you sure there's nothing I can do? Like, can I change your mind or whatever? He's like, nobody can stop me. And then the door kicks open.
The only question I have here is, what's Jin trying to do? Is he trying to bring back proof? Is he trying to, do you know what I mean? Like, in this moment, not knowing that everyone's about to bust in, what's his goal here?
He wants to go back and see if it can be done again. And then he wants to, he's going to try to bring back some proof that will convince other people to help him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that will be the next scene. He hasn't probably thought it too clearly right now.
Okay.
And then, when everybody else comes in, he will come up with a way to prove to them all.
Yeah.
Jin waits. You could do Jin waits impatiently on the operating table. You ready to go, Whiskey, or what? And he holds up two syringes. He's like, this is my best bet.
Well, no, I get the line because he's like, based on this article, I'm going to stab you with this one. Then I'm going to stab you with this one. Yeah. He's like, I kill you with this one and bring you back with this one. Yeah. Wait, no, this one.
Yeah, that's good. His brother should
lefty,
like,
daddy.
Yeah.
His brother should, like, look in the inventory of their medicines. He's like, weird. People have been taking these two things. And then his brother's like, somebody's heaven hopping. It's like a thing people do.
Getting juiced on the good place.
This one, then this one. No, I had it right the first time.
Oh, wait, this is insulin. This is my insulin. Oh, I feel faint.
Wait, no, this one.
Jin, are you sure there's no way I can talk you out of this? Nobody can stop me. And then just do tequila, and they all bust in with guns held. They're like, let him go. Wait, what the hell's going on
let
here?
Let him go, Jin. Wait, what?
What's going on here?
And then Whiskey goes, I stole him as long as I could.
And with tequila opens the door, and he goes, stop it. Don't you dare kill him. And he goes, I'm not going to kill him. He's going to kill me.
Then you're going to love me. Just then, the doors to the OR burst and Brandy bust in, guns drawn.
Yes, now this is a Hong Kong movie.
Do 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 do
do do do do do do.
And Brandy bust in, guns drawn. Let him go, Jin.
Thank God, thank God, I stole him as long as I could.
Long as I could. All right, and that's the end of the scene, right?
All
right, yeah, and then yes. Next week, we get into the
conversation with Tequila, Jin being like, hey, watch me die.
Yeah, so basically, this gets us to where we've been wanting desperately to get to for the last 10 pages, which is Tequila there, everyone else there. He's like, I'm going to prove to you that this is real. Yes. Watch me.
And he proves it. Yeah.
And then he's going to go to heaven and prove it. And then they're like, he comes back with the proof, and they're like, all right.
We're in.
Let's do it. Hell yeah.
All right.
Dude, I like that scene a lot. Heaven, that's a ton of fun.
Heaven, yeah.
Don't say what the hell, teens. Say what the heaven.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, scene number 12. Is this 12?
I think this is scene number 12.
Scene number 1-2 coming at your ear holes.
This is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
It's a podcast that we do as we are married. And how's the ad going so far? Because I think it's going very good.
We talk about things we like every week on Wednesdays.
One time Rachel talked about pumpernickel bread. It was so tight. You cannot afford to miss her talking about this sweet brown bread.
We also talk about music and poems and, you know, weather.
There was one...
Weather?
One time Rachel talked about Baby Beluga, the song, for like 14 minutes. And it just really blew my hair back.
So check us out on MaximumFun.org.
It's a cool podcast with chill vibes. Amber is the color of our energy, is what all the iTunes reviews say.
They will now.
Interior, Whiskey's apartment, night. Whiskey tearfully bids goodbye to Bambi, his super loud, super mean ass macaw squawking up a storm in his huge cage that takes up like a quarter of his tiny studio apartment.
Goodbye, Bambi. Daddy's got to go away for a while.
Whiskey wipes away a tear and goes to pet Bambi, who shrieks and bites his finger, drawing a deep bloody wound. He sucks his finger, slings a big bag over his shoulder, and turns to his roommate, a stressed-out student trying to study in the corner with cotton balls shoved in his ears.
So I left next month's rent on the fridge. Here's Bambi's nose drops. He needs 2 a day for the next 4 months.
4 months? How long are you gone?
Gotta go. Good luck with finals.
The roommate looks at the nose drops, then nervously up to Bambi, already prying furiously at the metal bars of his cage. Exterior, Whiskey's apartment, night. Whiskey shuts the door and gives a melancholy sigh. Wham! A hand wraps around his mouth and a gun jams into his back. It's Jin lurking over his shoulder. Jin whispers in Whiskey's ear as his eyes bulge in terror.
Shut up and move.
Whiskey whimpers in fright as Jin muscles him towards a waiting taxi cab. Behind him, the window of Whiskey's apartment squeaks open and his roommate shoos Bambi out into the night sky. Whiskey sees this and cries, giving muffled little sobs under Jin's hand. Aww. Interior, Jin's cab, night. Whiskey drives the cab as Jin sits in the back, gun trained on the front seat. Whiskey's eyes dart nervously from the road to the rearview mirror, where he sees a steely-eyed Jin glaring back at him.
What do you want, Jin?
Just keep driving.
With another nervous glance, Whiskey slowly reaches down to his pocket and fumbles for his phone. Without taking his eyes off the wheel, he tries to move through his contacts, all while talking to Jin to keep him distracted.
Come on, man. We can talk about this. You want my money? It's yours. You want my new identity? You got it. I didn't want to be from Norway anyway, man.
Shut up and pull in here.
Whiskey panics as he turns the wheel.
Oh, God, please don't kill me.
I'm not going to kill you.
The headlights of the taxi cab illuminate a sign outside a large building. SSP Buddhist Medical Center.
You're going to kill me.
You're going to kill me.
Cut to exterior medical center, night. Jin swipes his brother's security badge through a scanner and a back door beeps and unlocks. He pulls it open and motions for Whiskey to go inside.
You just hold it over. Nobody swipes badges anymore. The magnetic has fallen far away to like near field. Anyway,
Jin does that thing Freddy says. He pulls it open and motions for Whiskey to go inside.
Jin, listen, man, this is a bad idea.
Shh.
Jin slips inside and shuts the door. Interior medical center, operating room, night. Jin flicks on the lights of an operating room and steps inside, gun drawn on Whiskey.
I'm serious, man. The human body isn't a light bulb. You can't just flick it on and off.
Someone's Siri just went off.
I'm Siri, man.
My Siri went off. Hey, Siri, I'm reading a screenplay right now. Do you mind not interrupting me?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that. Could you please repeat?
Okay, goodbye, Siri.
I'm serious, man. The human body isn't a light bulb. You can't just flick it on and off.
Why not?
Well, like, if you flick a light bulb on and off, it burns out. You want to burn out?
So it is like a light bulb.
Ah, jeez, I'm not cut out for this. I'm a student, man. I'm a vet student. I operate on guinea pigs.
Jin glares at Whiskey, arms folded.
Whiskey, one of us is going to die in this room, and only one of us theoretically knows how to bring someone back. So who's it going to be?
Whiskey gives an anxious whine, and we cut to interior operating room, night. Whiskey, now an OR scrub, scrolls through a WebMD article on an old computer in the back of the operating room. Jin waits impatiently on the table.
Okay, based on this article...
Whiskey turns to face Jin and holds up two syringes.
I kill you with this one, and I revive you with this one.
He double takes, then switches the syringes in his hands.
Wait, no, this one and then this one. No, I was right the first time. No, wait, this is my insulin. Oh, God, I feel faint.
Whiskey sits on the edge of the table.
Jin... Are you sure I can't talk you out of this?
Jin has finally had enough. He grabs Whiskey by the shirt.
Listen, punk, this is a score of a lifetime. Nobody's going to stop me.
Just then, the doors to the OR burst open, and Tequila, Cognac, and Brandy bust in, guns drawn.
Let him go, Jin.
Tequila double takes at seeing Jin on the OR table and Whiskey over him in scrubs.
Wait, what?
Whiskey drops the syringes and rushes into Tequila's arms.
Oh, thank God. I stole them as long as I could.
All right.
Scene.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah. All right.
I think we got a good little bit there.
We tried to, we were concerned that the last few episodes got a little slow. So we're trying. We're
a new method.
To,
new format.
New method.
We got a new method.
A little looser. A little just a little talk beforehand and then just straight to writing, maybe.
Yeah. Basically, we were like doing this whole thing where like we'd talk about the scene in detail and then we would start to write it. And it just felt like we were doing the podcast twice, only one time fast and the next time slow and boring. So now we're writing it as we talk about it. So we're just trying to keep things moving for your the sake of your eardrums.
So this first draft is going to be very goofy.
Which is fine. Sure.
As you can plainly see.
Yep.
Goofy is more fun.
That's fun, though. I dig that scene quite a bit.
Yeah, speaking of goofy.
Yuck. What kind of fan art do we get this week, Will?
Dude, we got some great fan art this week. Thank you to MKE Second on Twitter, who tweeted us some awesome fan art for Kira Lam from our Boba Fett movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I saw that. That was a really cool
fucking
character design.
Badass design of this like teenage girl Boba Fett. It was really, really cool. So thank you very much to MKE Second on Twitter. We also got two wonderful posters from Gage Leroy Stoneman in the Story Break podcast Facebook group. These are these two freaking badass posters for the movie, one of which features Ashton Kutcher and a corgi. They've all got like a sort of like
that sells itself,
burning smoke, Joss paper type thing. So thanks once more to Gage Leroy Stoneman. And then we also got another very good TikTok from Nikki Miller about the chicken dance. So thanks to Nikki as well. You can check out all that fan art on our various pages. Freddie, what are they?
We have a wide social media footprint. We are proud to be a podcast with a huge social media breadth and depth. That breadth can be found on Twitter at RJ Storybreak, on Facebook at bit.ly/storybreakfb. And that depth can be on those two, because those are the two that we're on.
I thought you were going to say, like, the depth is on one and the breadth is on the other. I was like, oh, very witty, but then you botched it, so I don't...
Damn.
I don't respect you anymore.
Not that you ever did.
Dang.
Dang.
Dang, guys. Dang.
Dang, guys. Dang. Well, this was a lot of fun. Make sure to check out MaximumFun.org for all of your podcasting needs. The shows. That Maximum Fun doesn't sell microphones or headphones or recording gear. They make the podcasts that you listen to. If your podcasting needs involve that stuff, I don't know, try Amazon, maybe get an affiliate link from us, whatever.
Jesse is no help. Jesse is no help if you're trying to start a podcast. You have to come with it fully baked, ready to go.
Yeah. Jesse leans back in his big, like, Game of Thrones style chair of like a bunch of SM7s, and he's just like, yes, bring this to my ear holes.
What have you brought to me?
What audio entertainment paints a soundscape for mine ears? Anyway, that's MaximumFun.org, where the best podcasts are.
Hey guys, when you picture Jesse Thorne leaning back in his massive Game of Thrones microphone chair, do you picture him like sort of leaned back with his arm draped over it and maybe like, you know, like picking at his nails, like in that kind of casual way? Or do you see him like sitting forward like a hungry Viking king, like with like one elbow propped up on his leg?
Oh, yeah. I see the Viking king. I see the Viking king.
Stroking his beard.
Yeah. Just like, so a riddle master be ye. Tell me a riddle.
He does have a good beard.
Okay.
That's going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
I'm Matt Arnold. And respect your coworkers if you want a healthy work environment.
Whoa, this felt like a subtweet.
You two. Well, you two. You stopped respecting each other. You said.
Oh, I see. Oh,
yeah, I want you guys to get... We'll talk about it afterwards. You guys.
Goodbye, everyone.
Unless you wish you could trade in your own family for the Pearsons, Inside Pop is definitely not for you.
Sean, that's a little extreme and also not quite true.
Okay, Amita, how about Inside Pop is the podcast for people who love and appreciate the best pop culture has to offer?
Oh, much better.
In every episode, we interview the people who create the culture you crave.
Past interviews include the production designer for Fargo and Tony DeCray from the DreamWorks Story Department.
You'll also get the very best pop culture recommendations in our Big Sell segment.
Plus, the opinions of two TV producers who are pop culture obsessives and actually do wish Sterling K. Brown was our cousin.
Kissing cousins, that is.
Listen to Inside Pop every other Wednesday on the Maximum Fun Podcast Network.